Hi, this is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Stelly Efty. And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, I want to talk to you about what to do when your financing is falling through in the last minute.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done. Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So the reason I want to chat about this with you today is that in the past 2 weeks, I had 4 different conversations with founders where the basic theme was that they're just about to close a financing round and it has either fallen through completely or the round or the financing is some kind of in a crisis. And yep. There have been different reasons why. For 2 of them, it was the kind of the main investor that is the lead investor pulling out. And in 2 other cases, there are slightly different reasons for why financing has become much, much harder. And one is that the lead investor is all of a sudden has brought up a lot of terms that are just incredibly aggressive and were never agreed to. And in the last case, it's actually something totally different. In the last case, financing has not fallen through, but the company has just gotten into a situation where they're in a sudden cash flow crisis, and they have to kind of pull $50,000 out of their ass, and the money's not there, and the financing is going to plan to be closing in 2 months, so they have to kind of figure it out until then. At least that's what they think. So there's different reasons for why they're in this like crisis mode, but the theme is financing was around the corner, everything was going well in their minds, and now boom, something has happened. Somebody pulled out, somebody's put in really aggressive terms, so it's changed something, and they now are afraid that the entire financing is going to fall through, and that creates a massive crisis situation for them. I'm sure you've seen this and heard this scenario a number of times. I can't imagine you not, right?
Yeah, it's very common, and I think right now it might even be more common than usually, just because there is some kind of depression around like investors being a little more conservative when they're writing checks. And there are also a ton of investors out there. And that doesn't help either, because the more investors there are, the more that, like, you know, there's especially new investors coming into the market, they don't necessarily have the same processes and rigor that maybe investors that have been doing it for many years have. Especially with these lead investors, it's really sad when I hear it. Sad in the sense of, like, when investors pull out, like, that's a very negative, not on the company as much as on the investors. And so, yeah, this happens over and over again. You know, the simplest first thing to say, and this really sucks, but it's true, is like, don't count on it. Don't count on the investment. Yep. I mean, like, I'm sorry. Like, that's part of the problem here.
I love that. That's the first tip. I gave a talk once about like the 7 deadly fundraising sins. And the last one was like that you haven't raised shit if money hasn't hit the bank yet. Like it's the, you cannot expect that it will happen until it has already happened. And this is, that's such an obvious thing. It's also, you know, annoying, I'm sure, to hear, you know, when you're in that situation. But yeah, I mean, having options is a powerful thing, and banking everything on a financing to work out. And if it doesn't work out, your company is in kind of a life or death or in a near death experience situation. That's just, it just means that you're playing a very high risk game, and you're playing a game where luck and random chance and other people's actions plays a more important role in the future of your company than what you can control yourself and influence, which makes me always a little bit uncomfortable, right? I love to be in control of the outcome as much as possible. You're never fully in control, but I want to have a very significant amount of influence over the outcome when I can. So it always sucks when you aren't. But let's say that, you know, obviously there's things that I'd like to tell these people, like, you know, drive more revenue earlier, get to cash for profitability, have multiple options, not just one financing option. I think that a lot of times the reason for you being in a financing crisis kind of a last minute crisis, the real issue, the root of the problem has happened way before this moment, right? It happened in the moment where you put all your eggs in one basket, or you put all your hopes into one investor's hands, or you didn't feel the need to be more frugal with your burn rate and your fine. Like, there's a lot of mistakes that probably have happened or things that have happened that have contributed to this being as big of a crisis as it is. So ideally, in order to, you know, preempt you ever being in the situation, you do all the right things beforehand. But let's say that that chip has sailed and we're talking to you as a founder right now and you are in the situation. Me telling you should have, you know, be more frugal or have added more options a year ago, that's not going to help you right now. Right now, you were trying to close a financing, lead investors pulling out. You're afraid that all the other investors are going to leave once they know. What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, in one scenario, you find another lead investor. In another scenario, it's more about being preemptive about this and not putting, again, like you said, not putting all your eggs in one basket and making sure you always have a secondary option. Because it's likely if you've gotten all the way to one firm committed, there would have been at least one or two others that would have committed or at least gotten so far. So having a backup plan and knowing, like you said, that it's not the money's not in the bank before the money's in the bank is super critical. Honestly, like a lot of this has to do with the relationship you have with the investor. A lot of it has to do with has there been enough diligence and disclosure about what's going on with your company before you actually get this far down the line. I mean, one of the hesitations I have about giving any real solid advice on this stuff is like most of the scenarios I've seen end up being very specific. So maybe there's like seven different reasons that someone would pull out, like an investor. But a lot of it honestly has to do with their end, not your end. Especially if you got all the way to very close to a term sheet or even a signed term sheet. So, you know, it's a shame that this is becoming more common. And I can't believe that you just had three of these in the last couple of weeks. That's a little, that's probably a sign of something. There is no, like, you don't control the investor. The investor gets to decide if they give you money or not. So I think that reminder is a strong reality check for a lot of founders that go through this. At the same time, it's just like everything else. Like, figure out what you did wrong and figure out if there's any contribution to that on your end. And after that, the scramble is really about pitching new investors and ones you haven't talked to or going back to ones that were really excited and honestly, like, either being really honest with them or just, you know, turning the conversation back on.
Let's talk about that for a second, on the honest part, right? Because here's an interesting scenario I had in one of those cases. In one of those cases, the founder was in this situation where the Series A, it was clear that the Series A wouldn't close now, and it was pushed back, two, 3 months down the line. The founder knew that he would probably have to raise a small bridge round,
yeah,
and was believing that he was capable of doing that. But the larger issue was that the original Series A, that lead investor was, it didn't just get pushed back a little bit. The lead investor acted in ways that made that founder think he doesn't want to take money from them 3 months down the line. The founder knew that he would try to find another lead investor in the meanwhile. But now the question was that he was asking me was, if I raise this bridge round with my past kind of angel investors, do I pretend, I can easily pretend that the Series A round is just pushed down a little bit. We're in really good shape. We're just raising a small round just to be safe and all that. And let them believe that the round and the original investors involved with it is still fully intact? Or am I honest enough to tell them that, you know, it is, but I actually don't want one of them anymore and I'm going to try to find somebody else, right? In which case, they might see that Series A round now threatened and maybe I'm not as comfortable giving me more money right now, right? How honest am I? Because if I'm not fully, you know, transparent about the situation, I might have a very easy time to raise the bridge round. And if I'm fully transparent, I might not. And then I'm in a really crisis mode. And I know what I told him. And I'm pretty sure I have a good sense of what you probably would tell somebody in that situation. But I think the audience would love to hear it. And I'm still curious. What would you tell a founder in this specific spot?
You first.
All right. So I'm not trying to tell somebody what their internal ethical guideline and compass should be, right? And I think there's plenty of examples in the startup world of founders crossing over some ethical lines in your own internal judgment system and getting away with it, right? And doing fine. I told that founder that, you know, I can't speak for them. They have to make their own decision. If I was in this situation today, I would not feel comfortable or hiding it. Because I'm thinking really long term here. And if the angel investors, these people are people I hopefully want to work with for the next 10, 20, 30 years of my life. If I hide things from them, I will feel horrible. I think it's going to translate in the way I pitch and the way I communicate with them. There's going to be some kind of a guilt in my voice. There's going to be a certain weight on my shoulder. It's going to make work less fun. It's going to create a lot more pressure and stress for me, but it's also is going to harm the relationship long term. It's going to feel like I'm stealing money. I'm lying to people. But I also don't think I have to, in his particular situation, I said that if I was in that situation, I don't think I have to tell people, hey, I hate that one investor and I'm, you know, the round is not going to happen, but I need a bridge round. You know, I told him I would probably be transparent to them and tell them, hey, I'm trying to make the Series A happen. This one lead investor has acted in ways that make me a little uncomfortable. So I'm going to use those 3 months to try to see what other interests are out there and create more options for the business, because I think that's good. If there's no options on the table, we can regroup and decide if we still want to go with that investor or not. But that's kind of how I feel right now. Right now, we're raising a bridge round. We're planning on an A, but we're also with one of these participants in the A that has acted in some ways that need some investigation, and we need to see if we're really gonna, if it's in the best interest of the company ultimately to take money from them. Just be frank and honest, and if that freaks out an angel investor and it makes them not want to help you with the bridge, then I think it would be a bad idea to take their money anyways. And if it doesn't, now you have real alignment. Now you have people that know what the situation is. Maybe they're going to give you advice. Maybe they're going to be able to help you find another lead investor. You're creating, through transparency, you're going to create a situation where these investors don't just give you money, but they're going to be able to help you manage this tough situation and get to the end result and to the best outcome for the company, versus you having to come up with everything on your own while you're lying to group A, you're lying to group B, and you're trying to create develop a new group of people. That's what I would do. But, you know, I also try to be mindful of not trying to, you know, impose my own compass or my own way of thinking onto others as if it is the right way of thinking or acting. But that was the advice that I gave him.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, you could be straight up, be like, are you an honest person? Like, you could just ask the founder, are you an honest person? Like, do you believe you're an honest person? Right? And that's actually how I usually start the conversation. It's rare for anyone to say no. But then you can see by the how long it takes them to say it, the kind of resistance in their voice, and then you give them a strategy. That would be my approach. So, you know, in the honest truth about, don't fucking lie to your investors, future or potential or current investors. Just don't lie to them. That there's no you don't win that way. You don't get anything that way. You get a lot of negativity, and if you plan on having more companies and wanting investors or wanting to raise more money, the last thing you want to do is get caught in a lie with an investor. It's death, honestly.
Because
you have to find new ones that don't know you lied. Now, here's the thing. Let me give you my caveat, because then I think it'll cover what you're about to say.
Okay.
The caveat I would give is simple. Don't talk shit either, and don't wear your emotions. You know, this is business. So don't sit there and like badmouth the other investor or anything. Just be super factual about what happened. Because what I see investors, you know, or sorry, founders do wrong is they'll sit there and they'll be honest, but they'll wear all their emotion. They'll wear their sadness, and they'll essentially get to the point of talking shit on the investor that kind of, in their mind, screwed them over. the investor probably didn't screw them over. There's just a bunch of things that happen that are out of the founder's control. But they take it personally, and then they emote all of this back onto whoever they're talking to. And that's okay. You're talking to Stelly or me or some other founder. Go for it. Bring it on. Like, we do that a lot. But like, when you're talking to an investor, be businesslike. That's the best thing you can do.
Yeah, I love that. So that was one of my caveats. The other one is, some people are just sociopaths, right? Some people just have no problem lying at any time. Yeah. And a bunch of them get away with it in life. Fine. Like, if I don't want to be you, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But if you're you, it works. Like, I'm not going to pretend that these people never get away with it. You can lie and be very successful. There's very prominent examples right now in this country of you know, lying and saying the truth and if you can get away with it or not. But if you're not a liar, if you're somebody that's honest, I think it's a bad idea to lie. It's just a bad idea. It just fucks other people over, but it creates a lot of bad relationships and it's creating a bad reputation for you. But also, you're not going to be able to do a good job. You're going to be all conflicted within yourself, which is the worst kind of conflict to have to begin with. So just don't do that. But the other thing I think is brilliant, which is talk to your co-founders to whine about things, to complain, to be all emotional, to be weak, to be in doubt. All these emotions are human. They're natural and they're fine. Get it out of your system with people that are proper in that context. And then when you talk to investors, be rational and seem like you have clarity and you know what you want to do next. Don't complain. Don't whine. Don't talk to investors and be like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Should we do this or that? I don't know. I have all these. Because obviously no matter if it's harsh or not, that's not going to make me as an investor go, yes, let me give this person more and more of my money. Because that person is going to seem to be able to deal with the pressures and ambiguities and challenges and their own emotions around them. It sucks, but that level of honesty is kind of productive when you're asking for money, because it makes me as an investor feel, that emotion translates over to me. So if you're like all in panic and you talk to me in a panic mode, it's going to put me in a panic. If you seem calm, clear, cool, collected, it's going to make me, even if it's a crisis, it's going to create confidence and comfort in me. And it will make me go, you know what? I think this person is going to figure out this crisis. I think this person, my money's in good hands with this gal or guy. So yeah, make sure that you're honest, but make sure that you have collected your thoughts and have a game plan when you talk to people, and that you don't badmouth or complain or whine around other people.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest tip we can give in this scenario, you know, just be honest. And unless you're a sociopath, then just be a sociopath. Go for it.
one more question here, which is in a few of these scenarios of these founders coming to me with their financing crisis, there was a question that was around, what kind of some short-term actions that they might have to take that might or may not negatively affect the midterm financing hopes that they still have. So there was should we cut costs right now? But, you know, if we cut costs really radically immediately, it might affect our growth in the next 3 months, or it will affect how much we grow in the next 3 months. And in 3 months, we're trying to close this A round. So there was some conflict around doing things to create a better scenario, a better short-term scenario that might harm then the existing desire of closing the financing round or closing around down the line, letting go of people, stop spending on advertisement, bring down kind of churn, all these kind of scenarios. How frugal should we be? How much should we cut cost? And will that be short-sighted, or is that kind of prudent and the wise thing to do in this situation?
Yeah, when you're running out of money, you know, you just have to be really smart about how you cut, you know, and you don't want to cut anything that's going to hurt you. At the same time, if you really believe you need to make the company survive, then you cut as deep as you have to get the runway you need. It's really the problem of runway and how long it's going to take till you can raise money. I mean, in some scenarios, it's better to just stop and return whatever money you have, if any, or whatever it is. And that's not what everyone wants to do, but I've been through this before myself. I've helped many founders through this, And the option they don't think of, the last tip I'll give about this one is they don't think about shutting it down. They don't think hard enough about that. That's actually where I'd start. Be like, well, you can't raise money. They backed out. What about shutting it down? Because the last thing, it sucks. But the thing you don't want founders to go through is working on a company that's just not going to work. It's just not going to work, right? And that and nobody wants to hear that. I mean, these are some of the hardest conversations I have with founders when we hit that scenario. I'm like, well, it didn't work. You can't raise the money. You can go pound it out for a little bit. Maybe like pound it out, meaning like doors, right, of investors, and see if it'll work. But at the end of the day, you're going to have a skeleton crew. Your team gets demotivated. What's the point if you can't like get the money and if you don't have conviction that you can get it? So even cutting deep might not be the best solution when most people, that's their only solution. So anyways, wanted to put that out there because sometimes it's better to just move on.
Yeah, I think that this is super crucial. It's a painful thing. It's not very inspiring. It's not the happy-dappy way of advising somebody in these situations, but it's the honest way. And it's a truth that most people don't want to hear or don't want to even contemplate. We actually recorded an episode, and this is one that everybody should listen to. It was episode 143. 143, The Slow and Stressful Way to Kill Your Startup, or How to Make a Decision if You Should Keep Going On or Not. Listen to that one. If you're wondering if you might have to consider shutting down the company, you should listen to that one. And think about, like, use a rational framework of making that decision versus an emotional one of, like, I'm going to lose my face and we've been working for so long. And the sunk cost fallacy of, like, oh, we've put all this into this and we're so close of making it. Listen to this and make sure that if you take extreme measures, make sure that you have a good chance of making these extreme measures pay off for you and the business. Don't just take them to take them. Don't just take them because you feel obligated to do everything and anything possible. You should do everything and anything possible for something that's worth all that risk and all that energy and all that money and all that time. And if you're in a crisis mode and financing is breaking apart, maybe you're not lucky. Maybe it's you chose the wrong investors. There's many reasons to be in that situation that would not lead to you should stop your company. But there are a good amount of them, a good amount of times when financing breaks apart and when you have difficulties to raise money, where the reason why all that is happening is that the business is not in a good enough shape and maybe you shouldn't continue. All right.
Agreed.
Yeah. I think that's it from us for this episode. We'll hear you guys very soon.
Until next time.